Bibles tonight. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Did anybody not receive a copy of the notes tonight? If you didn't, perhaps you could raise your hand and the ushers would get one for you if you need one. Proverbs chapter 24 is where we're turning. It's like one or two, three or four over in those sections there. Proverbs chapter 24. And tonight, the message is short and sweet and right to the point. And if you look at the notes, you'll see there is short, there is sweet, and there is right to the point. And one of the reasons I'm doing it that way tonight is I'm very conscious of the fact that we have a business meeting tonight, a lot of very interesting things to share, possibilities for missionary support, some other things we'd like to bring you up to speed on. And so I thought it would be appropriate, knowing we had missionary presentation tonight, all of this, to go basically short and sweet and right to the point. So let's look under the heading of why is the future bright? Question that is on the minds of many. Why is the future bright? Look, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 24. And we're going to be reading tonight verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Shall we pause to pray? Father, I thank you and praise you tonight for the opportunity to give this challenge from God's Word, to give hope and help to God's people, to give confidence, to give a delightful thinking about our destiny because of what you have done in our hearts and lives. So, Lord, help us tonight to understand the short and sweet and pointed illustration that we find in this passage. And, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I had this passage in devotions several weeks ago, shared it with two or three in our pastoral prayer meeting, and I've just been so moved by it. I've come to the conclusion that it's one of the more motivating passages that I believe I have found from the Word of God in quite some time. I hope it'll have that same effect on you tonight, so let's begin with the questions. In a dark and dreary and sometimes depressing world, have you ever heard anybody say, oh, the future is bright? And you've asked the question, really? Why? Why is the future bright? When the world talks about that, is it more of the fake news they have been talking about lately, full of empty promises like cotton candy? They offer you all kinds of things, and yet you and I, who are of any age at all, know that we get actually pretty jaded by the fact that the world makes all these promises, even political promises, and yet at the end it doesn't really come to fruition. It doesn't really work the way they say it's going to work. And part of the question for us then would be, as people who want to be positive, people who want to stay motivated, people who actually want to be able to reach out to others, is there a biblical desire, a desire that would be really overflowing out of our hearts, wherein we could offer to others real hope? I'm talking about genuine hope now. Is there a way that we could do that? Well, obviously, in this passage, you find it is a passage from Proverbs. Proverbs has a way of packing a lot in just a few words, a lot in a little, we might say. And that's the reason they're written that way. Through comparisons, and tonight you find a comparison in these two passages, two verses, I should say. Whether it's comparisons or sometimes it's contrast, sometimes Proverbs works in sort of a cause and effect sort of connection. If you look at comparisons as apples to apples and contrast as apples to oranges, then cause and effect might be roots and fruits. What root produces what fruit? And then sometimes in Proverbs, what you have is actually a progression in many of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, for instance, you have a progression of how to actually find wisdom, how to find the fear of God. And you have to use discernment when you work through Proverbs to find out, is this a standalone verse or is it connected somehow? And if it's a standalone, is it making a comparison that you and I ought to make, a contrast? Is there some connection that I ought to see in cause-effect thinking? And they're wonderful in that way because they really help us. Now, this passage tonight, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 14, assures us that there really is a bright future and that it is brimming with potential under one condition. I don't know about you, but when I hear a statement like that, I think, well, I really want to be sure I understand that one condition. I want to be sure I have a good mastery over that one condition in order that I could have a bright future that really is brimming with potential. And this passage certainly tonight would help us. And I love this about Proverbs, don't you? I love the fact that Proverbs are very relational. If you look at the first two words in verse 13, it says, "My son." It is parental. It is relational. Every parent here would say, I would desire only the very best for my children. Well, the writer of Proverbs and the Holy Spirit who inspired them would be exactly the same way for us. Wanting only the best, only the sweetest and greatest kind of future. And that's exactly what is being offered to us here. His appeal and instruction is designed to introduce the reader to a warm and wonderful time ahead. Yes, it is saying here the future is bright. And this isn't merely from just human inspiration. You'll hear a lot of, the right word to use here would probably be nostrum. You don't hear that word used very much. But there's all sort of whimsical statements that people make. And they're sort of empty phrases. We refer to them as nostrums that are just basically sort of out there. Sort of the chicken soup for the soul type stuff. Is that what we have here? Now, what we have here is something that inspires much more confidence, much more certainty. In fact, it is telling you in this passage that you can have a confidence which actually extends beyond life, as you and I know it, an expectation of a heavenly future. And so let's get right to it, shall we? This is an illustration that is sweet. This is an exciting illustration that is designed to draw you into an exciting future. And yes, you can almost taste it. When you read these words in verse 13, eat honey because it is good. Would anybody like to say amen to that? You know, amen to that. Boy, eat honey. Hey, it's right there in the scripture. Eat honey for it is good. Tonight when I was, I took a nap this afternoon knowing I had to preach tonight. And I thought, oh, I think I'll just look around the cabinet. And lo and behold, I found some honey. And I thought, well, what better way to prepare for a message on honey than to have a little honey tonight? And sure enough, it is sweet to the taste and it is enlightening to the eyes, as we shall see in a few moments. It's that kind of illustration that the Lord is using here. You don't have to be asked the second time to take honey, but don't miss the point. The point is that he is connecting something with something else. He is connecting what is in verse 13 with the word so in verse 14. He is connecting something together so that you and I understand that there is something about the taste of honey, which is, according to verse 14, like wisdom for your soul. In Proverbs 24:13, this delightful taste is used to point you to a tantalizing destiny. And that would be the right word to use there, a tantalizing destiny. He's saying, look, there will be a future. Your expectation will not be cut off. There is a reward for you. And so in the very same way that in the moment honey tastes great on your tongue, he is saying, if you will find it, if you will search for it, if you will find it, that what you will find is wisdom is the same way for your soul. This would have been especially appropriate for you and me to think about in an agrarian society. Now, Eric was talking about just now about camping, what it's going to be like there in Myanmar out in the wild. You can imagine fairly quickly that people who had to kind of get by on what we call a subsistence diet, that is, you couldn't run down to the convenience store, you know, and pick up beef jerky and cheese and honey and, you know, a Coke and those kind of things. They didn't have the ability to do that. It was in that agrarian society among the farmers, it was well understood, here are the things that you basically need to keep you and your family alive. And so whether it was in times of drought or famine, or by the way, even in times of prosperity, it was clearly understood that there was one thing that was really delightful to find. And what was that one delightful thing? It was honey. If you find honey, even in the midst of drought, if you find honey, even in the midst of famine, if you find honey, even in the midst of prosperity, honey is a wonderful thing. It is good. It is sweet to the taste. That sweet fluid dripping from the honeycomb, for those who find it, the immediate future looks very, very bright. So much so that when the Lord was telling his people about the promised land, what did he say it flowed with? He said it flowed with milk and honey. I mean, they understood, whoa, hey, it flows with milk and honey. And on that one occasion when under King Saul they were fighting the Philistines, if I remember correctly, remember his son Jonathan found honey. This is in the book of 1 Samuel, where Jonathan finds the honey and he makes this comment, "How my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." You and I know the immediate effect on our system of that kind of carbohydrate, that kind of sugar. Wow, that feels great. Whoa, I feel like after I took that little bit of honey this afternoon, I feel like I'm ready to preach tonight. I feel like I have the energy to be able to do it. That's the kind of effect that it has on you. So what is the point that we should carry away from the illustration? Well, don't miss this, that almost everything in life, and certainly you find this throughout the Scripture, you have physical illustrations which are designed to make a spiritual point. If you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, and it says, go to the ant, you... Anybody remember what the next word is? Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Go to the ant, you sluggard. And you see, immediately you begin to find then what the Lord is using is, he's using an ant to teach you about diligence. Think about how many times Jesus Christ did this. How many times did he really pack powerful and a great deal, profound, large truth in just really simple illustrations about sheep or shepherd or light or bread, or even he would use the waves of the sea. He would use tombs to really communicate it. So what you and I have a connection here is between something physical and something spiritual. There is a connection here that is made between the delightful taste of honey on your taste buds and your tantalizing destiny for the future. So let's get right to the point. Look at verse 14, if you will. So he makes the connection, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When you have found it, now there's that one condition that we talked about earlier in the message. When you have found it, then shall there be a reward. Some translations have it there as, then shall there be a future. Yeah, the future is bright. Then shall there be a reward. Thy expectation, your hope, will not be cut off. What Proverbs 24 is doing is what Jesus did in so many of his messages. He's taking what was well known and teaching you about what should be known. Dear friends, that is a wonderful way to approach the Word of God. Jesus does this. The Lord does this. What they do is they really help you to understand something that is very well known in order to make the connection with something that should be known or something that is unknown to you but can be known. And so the point he's making here is there is a connection. Now, scriptures connect that sweetness of honey with wisdom in a number of places. Psalm 19, verse 10, tells us that the word of God is sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Or Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Wow. I mean, that makes those kind of connections. So much so that in the old days when the rabbis were teaching the young men, what they would do is with the very young initiates, they would take them and write on their tablet some portion of the Word of God, and then they would put honey and say, "Taste this." And so the young men would actually lick the tablet and taste the honey and make the connection that is being made in this verse. Wow! I mean, this can really be sweet if you will approach it the right way. And so what that leads us to do is ask, what is that one very important condition here? He says, if or when you find it. Meeting that one condition becomes, I think, the supremely important point in this passage. If you really long for a delightful future and say, that's what I want, and this one condition, it means, look, you have to find this. You have to search for this until you find it. Our oldest, when he was a very small child, he would watch us looking all over the house for something. I still remember one time, could not find my car keys and my office keys, and looked everywhere, and I mean everywhere. We overturned everything that could possibly contain car keys and sat back. And I still remember as he was following us around, he said, "Are we finding it, Daddy? Are we finding it?" You know, rather than, "Are we looking for it?" No, we're finding it. We're finding all the places that it isn't. I still remember we finally sat back and said, "Okay, what are the possibilities here?" And we thought, "Okay, what have we done?" And we thought, "Well, we carried some garbage out of the garbage can, but it could..." Oh, wait a minute. And that's when we realized our son could have picked up our keys, put them in the kitchen trash, and we dutifully emptied the kitchen trash. And where we found it was in the garbage can outside. I'm really glad we found those car keys on that occasion. It's the question you have to ask is, are you finding it? Not merely, are you looking for it? Nope. Are you finding it? Just like he asked me. Are you finding it, Daddy? Are you finding it? Are you, in fact, finding it? Are you locating it? And so to do that, let me just use that honey illustration just for a moment and talk about how the buzz might work. Now, if you were out in the wild, or if you were a farmer out in your field, you would be very conscious, if you were thinking about it, about the bees flying by. I don't know about most people here in the congregation, but if you're out in your yard and you hear a bee fly by, you could ignore it. But if you want to pay attention, there's also yellow jackets. No honey to be found there, by the way. But if you heard a yellow jacket, it's not a bad idea to ask, which way is that yellow jacket flying? And sure enough, this last year, in fact, the last couple of years, I found yellow jackets had found a small crack in our brick, or they found a small crack in our fascia. And sure enough, I had a yellow jacket nest. Well, I didn't realize that until I was out in the yard and thought, wonder which way is these bees? Why are these bees flying? Because bees are very efficient. They tend to fly in very straight lines. So if you were out in the wild, or if you were a farmer and you kind of wanted to locate a local beehive, what would you do? The old timers referred to this as bee lining, because the bees fly in a straight line. The farmers, the beekeepers, they would go out and take a little plate of nectar, go out there and just put it in the woods, and they would actually sit there. And they figured out, by the way, that the bees actually use them as people. They actually use them for kind of markers. And so these men recommend, you know, put on something that's like bright blue or something that can be readily recognizable out in the woods. Because if that bee finds that nectar and then takes off, you just want to sit very patiently and wait for them to come back. They're actually using you as a landmark. And you want to sit there and watch them land, take some more of the nectar, go, and two or three times until you're ready to move. And what you're actually doing is you're actually kind of sighting that line, that tree off of the distance that they are flying toward. That's going to be sort of your next point when you get there. Then to stand by that tree and ask, which way are they flying? Sometimes they would put out another little plate of nectar so that they could actually begin to sight, because, again, bees are very efficient. They tend to fly in very straight lines. And the old-timers would tell you that if you patiently look for it this way, you're going to follow it by carefully following their line of flight and pausing occasionally to put out another sweet treat for the bees. You'll begin to find out exactly where it is. Well, may I point out that the buzz is something that you and I ought to pay very close attention to. absolutely love it about our congregation when I hear people talking and they're sharing the Word of God. You can almost, young people, you can think of adults going around and going basically, you know, bzzz. I mean, they're basically walking around and they're buzzing about something. And my, oh my, when they are buzzing about the sweetness of the Scripture. Or, let me tell you what I learned from the Lord lately. Let me tell you what has been for me, like, as Job would call it, my necessary food. This is why you would find Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so there is a very real sense in Psalm 19 and 119, really connect this for us. They are telling us you can find this sweet wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon prayed for it and the Lord gave it to him. James chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us every last one of us can be the same way. If we ask for wisdom, the Lord has promised to give it to us. Now remember where we're headed. If we can find that wisdom, there is a bright future. If we can find that wisdom, there is an expectation. There is a hope. And so, wow, you've got to meet that one condition. You've got to stay on task there. And so whether it is listening to other believers as they are buzzing about the Scriptures, always a time of sweet fellowship when some believers gather and they just begin to share, hey, here's what the Lord is teaching me. It's been described as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Well, in this case, it's bread and honey. Hey, here is something that really meant a lot to my soul. Try this. I mean, you've got to taste this. Or you can go to the Scriptures themselves and find that they really are, shall we say, buzzing with the bee line. The ways of His commandments. That's the way that David referred to it in Psalm 119. He said, I will meditate of all thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Look for the bee line of Scripture and keep searching until you find the honey, because again, if this message is short and sweet and right to the point, what's the point? The point is, if you will find wisdom, there shall be a reward. The reward that we most certainly know about is there is heaven before us. There is a heavenly destiny. Yeah, but Scripture is speaking even of here upon the earth. There is a reward for wisdom. So I'll illustrate here in just a few moments. There is a reward. There is a future. If you place your heart on this hope, you will not be cast away. You won't have it dashed to pieces because you are finding the wisdom from the Word. So let me just very quickly give you an exercise that would be an interesting way to approach tonight's message. If you were to go away tonight, tomorrow, the next few days, and read Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 13, here's what you'd find about almost every verse in those four chapters of Scripture. You would find that almost every one of those verses gives you something to fear and something to desire. Something to fear and something to desire. Now think about the way that affects you. If you could find something to fear, oh, I want to stay away from that, and something to desire, can you see how almost every one of those verses would read like a compass, like a beeline? They would help you make a beeline toward a very bright future. This is summed up in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24, where it says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But listen to this. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The desire of the righteous, it really will come true. There is a very similar verse in Proverbs chapter 11 that speaks to the very same way. So, in these next few days, can I ask you to make a beeline to wisdom? Can I appeal to you to take Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 13, and just begin to go through and say, hey, what's the beeline in this verse? What's the compass here? What is it that I should turn away from? What is it I should turn toward? And in following those verses, before long, you begin to find, wait a minute, this is really sweet. I mean, it is a sweet future that the Lord is putting in front of me. In each and every case across the generations, what the Lord is doing is He is offering this kind of wisdom. He says, in a parental fashion, "My son." What a great way for you and me to pass along to our children, to our grandchildren, to be able to show them, hey, there's a beeline here. Make a beeline towards some of the sweetest things you have ever known, because when wisdom enters into your soul, there will be a future. There is a bright future. There is an expectation, and your hope will not be cut off. May I appeal to you this evening to learn to look at the future that way, and that is why the future is bright. Shall we pause together to pray as we conclude our service here in just a moment? After I pray, I'll just ask if our instrumentalist could perhaps play just a stanza of a hymn, and then as we had planned to do, we will convene our business meeting. I am sure that the quarterly statements are available, and I'm sure the ushers will be glad to distribute those for us. And so let's pause together to pray to dismiss this service, shall we? Lord, I do praise you and thank you tonight that we can see that the future is indeed bright. Lord, you show us in this passage why we can look upon honey as sweet to the taste and compare it with wisdom, which is very sweet to the soul and will give us a bright future and full of hope and expectation about what you can do, because we are trusting in your principles and we are trusting in your promises. Lord, I'm asking this evening that you would give us wisdom even in our business meeting time. Grant us understanding about what you would have us to do. Help us to say, if the Lord will, as we look at the bright future, the great expectations we have of your working in us and through us. Lord, grant every willing person here that fulfillment. Help them to know that when wisdom enters into their soul, that there really will be a bright future. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.